Good morning, everybody, or afternoon, depending on where you are, I guess. It's actually just 3 minutes after the hour where I'm at. I was giving it a little bit more time for people to get in. To go ahead and get started, I have some of the housekeeping is we did have somebody volunteer to step up as the 2026 convener, Susan Gill. If she, yeah, you're here. Susan, would you like to say a few words about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I'm working with Folio for 3 years now, and I work at the Bavarian Labor Network.
Super excited. Thank you. I'm excited you're doing this. I'm sure she would like some help if somebody would like to volunteer to assist her and co-convene with her. That would be great. So if you are any interest in helping at all in any way, please reach out to us and let us know. We're excited about what direction the SIG could go in 2026. Did anybody else have anything they want to bring up before we get started on the business? The item that Joe has for us to talk about. If not, Joe, then whenever you're ready.
Alrighty, let me share my screen real quick. This is actually not a particularly large conversation, but I'm just trying to get a sense of scale and urgency. Basically, we've got when you are in the receiving app and at the point of receiving, you move pieces to a different holding while you're receiving them. If you've moved the last piece out using Quick Receive, you get an alert that the original holding has nothing associated with it. Do you want to delete the holding? On the full screen, that alert does not come up. And the question, what I'm trying to figure out is, how big of a deal is this? Is this a common problem? Is this like really critically important, or is it a nice to have? And the reason why I want to talk about it with the SIG is that it's somewhat complicated. If you're dealing with just a single piece, I could see that it makes sense not to make a difference wherever it is. But in order to do that, to say, hey, there's nothing left, do you want to remove the holdings? What we'd have to develop is on the full screen receiving app. When I scroll over to the select location, so in the PO line, I have the inventory action set so that it creates a holding. And it will always associate the holding, in this case, with the Beatrix Potter collection. So, in order to get that modal, what I would have to do is for each piece, I would have to create new holdings and then assign it to that new holding before I receive, so that nothing is associated with the Beatrix Potter collection. And again, if you're dealing with just a single piece, then I can very much see that you'd want to have that cleanup there. But with the multi-line receiving, is there a wish for this? And if so, is this kind of an important thing or kind of a nice to have? And so that's really what I wanted to chat with you all about today. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, somebody can say, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, and I can try to quickly recreate it.
Can you
So
try
I
to
don't know.
recreate it? Yeah. Sarah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. So Joe, I'm wondering, I personally don't receive in that way, so I don't have this issue. However, as somebody who also works in inventory with metadata, because I work across functional areas, I actually routinely run a query and then take care of what I call orphaned holdings. So they are leftover holdings without items on instance records. And so that, no matter how they get created, that is an issue, right? So from coming from the other side, you really in inventory do not want to have kind of leftover holdings records. So I think regardless of which way you receive things, whatever your workflow is, you would want to know that you are now creating a orphaned, what I call an orphaned holdings record. Does that make sense?
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. And this is what this is addressing. So I'm just quickly going through and creating a really quick example, just a single part monograph. Save and open. Through and now I'll go into actions. So receiving, we go. So if I go into delete me and I go into quick receive and then I select holdings, create new holdings for location, and I'm going to move that to second floor stacks. And then I do quick receive. Now I've got this modal coming up. This piece is, and this is the, yeah, this is the orphan alert that we're talking about. So, and then what I'm talking of, and then the question I have is that on the full screen, when we do that. So if I go back to receiving and I change the order type from one time to ongoing, and I. So when we come back to does this have multiple pieces? No, that's only got one. This is bug fest, so it's takes a little bit more to do. So if I go into here, and I go into that same full screen page, then the question is, are there situations where you would go through and change the location or change the holding for every line in there, or is that typically done by quick receive? Does that make any sense?
So I have another question about that then. So we don't typically have items for our expected pieces. So wouldn't that then mean that it would be an if we changed the location on if our workflow was always to receive through this mechanism and not quick receive? Wouldn't it mean that I receive the one that I'm receiving now because I got that issue in and I go, oh, it really should go to this other holdings. So I'm changing that. And which would mean then that there would be no pieces, no items on that holdings record. Because I've changed that one, and none of my other ones that are expected that I haven't received yet are on it yet.
So the logic that we're using to create that delete holdings modal looks for the presence of an item or anticipates the possibility of an item. So if I go back, let me cancel out of here. So these expected pieces, if I go into the holding, there is, or there, yeah, I've created two items, but if I had actually created, like done it, like you said, it should actually have an item for every piece. So this only has, it has item allowed, but it doesn't have an actual item created, if that makes sense. But if you don't have any item interaction at all, then I have to check because I think it does look at items for that particular modal. But if you notice that the one that I just did I create an item on that one as well? I don't think I did. Delete me. Yeah, I don't see an item attached to this one either. Is there an item? Ah, yeah, there is an item because it's received. Okay. Okay, so would you expect then that with the multi-select that we would build in that it would go through if you change the location on everything that it would go back and say you have no holdings left, delete the original holding?
I personally would want that warning.
Okay. And
And
my
funny enough, yesterday in MMSIG, there was the reverse conversation. So if you delete all the items off of a holdings, should the holdings then offer you, or should the last item deletion then produce a modal that says, hey, you have just removed the last item from those holdings. Do you also want to delete the holdings? And I said, that would be great, except I would also want a warning to say, but I'm associated with an order if that were the case, right? So if it's not, then sure. But to have that in any case where you're affecting something that I would personally like warnings. No matter where I'm at, about either creating orphan things or deleting an association that I might not be aware of.
Okay. And is it fair to say that it's fairly common practice where your ordering location is distinct from your shelf location? That's common.
It can be, yeah. For
Okay.
example, especially with periodicals, we have a periodical display where new issues go first, but we receive them on their ultimate location. but temporarily they go on display, but we don't use the temp location.
Okay. Do I need to have a conversation with Ryan? No, it's a conversation for another day. Does anyone else have any feedback on this? If not, that's really all I had. So I can turn things back over to
I
Heather.
also
Oh, go
have
ahead.
a quick question. Well, I think it's a quick question, if that's okay.
Please, we don't really have anything else, so we're good.
I just wanted to make sure that we had some discussion about this in this group too, that recently inventory introduced set for deletion. I say recently, like relatively recently. And I is our understanding that when you're creating an order record and we use the instance matching that's in place for orders. So if you just add bibliographic details to an order line when your order is pending and then you open that order, Folio will actually look for an instance to match with that POL before deciding to create a new one. And up till now, that matching would include any instance. But based on the product identifier, the resource identifiers matching. And I believe that now that it's possible to set for deletion, that we should be excluding instances that are set for deletion, even though they may not be deleted yet. But I wanted to just make sure we had some discussion about this with this group. If anyone disagrees with that, or if that makes you think of anywhere else, any other use cases where we shouldn't be considering instances that are set for deletion. And for example, if you're creating a POL and you if you click the title lookup, should you even see instances in there that are set for deletion? What are your thoughts?
In case you can't see that I raised my hand, I'm just going to speak up. Hi, Dennis. So I would totally agree that that should be the case, that you a the system should not automatically associate itself with something that's set for deletion, nor should we be able to choose it, because I don't think the modal will indicate that the thing you're choosing is set for deletion. And I would even go so far as I hadn't thought about this before, but that anything wherein the instance is also suppressed from staff and suppressed from discovery, if it's not indicated in the modal or when the system automatically associates it, then that can also be a problem, right? So there are cases where you would in inventory set something to staff suppressed and staff suppressed from discovery, and have as a stat code, for example, you know, keep record for retention purposes, for auditing purposes, and where you don't want it to ultimately be deleted, you still need it for some kind of auditing purposes, right? But you wouldn't then want your order and your thing that's coming in associated with that record, because then nobody would ever be able to find it in inventory even after you've received it potentially, if nobody's like paying close enough attention, right? So, because I think now that I'm again thinking about it, like if I go through the receiving process and I add the barcode then, and then I just automatically go to check in and check it in without ever looking in inventory for some reason. I would never do this, but maybe some schools' workflows are like that. You could check it in to make it available, and you would never realize that in inventory it's actually hidden.
Yeah, I think that's an entirely fair point. And at the moment, so in inventory, if something is suppressed from staff, do you even see that record in the search result?
It depends on what your permissions are. So I see all of them,
Oh,
but not everybody does.
I see.
It's a permission level.
Okay, so that would probably the find instance will be the same thing. Like the title lookup would behave the same way. But
Yeah,
yeah,
and I
that's an
don't
interesting
know if you
note.
see chat, Kristen mentions. So this obviously happens to them, right? That they have these suppressed things, but they have available items on there.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it happens because we're attaching POs to them, but it is, I think it's more workflows where people like aren't taking all the steps. Like when, you know, it has to, it's really easy in Folio, I think, to, if you suppress the instance, the item still needs work to really know that it's suppressed. Or we also found cases, I don't know if other libraries have had this experience, where we had like items that were in fact available, but somehow our instance record was suppressed accidentally. We don't know, like, did somebody at one point say we were supposed to withdraw these items, but we never did? Because they were like, we had students going out in the stacks and just like, so we did like this massive unsuppressed project that I think, you know, maybe it was like a migration issue, but there's a variety of reasons where this could come up. I think if you do want to do something around these statuses, it would be good probably to have it be like a modal warning. You know, just, uh-oh. You know, I wouldn't necessarily do it for like suppressed from discovery because there's so many reasons why you might have an order on a suppressed from discovery record if you don't want to make it available to the public because it's just not there yet. But I do think for people that are using suppress from all, which is not a status that we use here, or trying to like mark something for deletion, I think a warning would be good. Just to kind of let people know, because sometimes those things happen just by accident. And that's usually where we've gotten our suppress from staff records, because you know, we find like a handful and it's been error.
But I would go for a warning for all statuses. I mean, also the suppress from discovery, because for example, like for us with the five colleges, right? Smith could download the record first, suppress it from discovery because their thing hasn't come in yet, and that's their workflow. Then we get an order and think, oh, look, I can look up this thing. It's there. I'm going to attach our POL and so forth and go through the process for that thing to this thing because it comes up in the modal. I attach it and do not realize that it's actually suppressed from discovery. And for us, we like to have the things that are on order show up in discovery in our discover layer as being on order, right? Because you can then people can still put a hold on it for the future, or you know, faculty member X requested it and now they see, oh, it's on order, you know, they're doing their thing there at the library. And whereas maybe a other institution prefers to keep their things suppressed until the thing has actually arrived. And so if we don't have a warning, it's then you don't know that. And it can be really, with the separation of the apps and in some cases, the workflow of people, It can be really hard to figure out that you've just attached it to something that is suppressed. And if it's an automated thing, right, through the order automatically doing it, well, then the system doesn't know. This also about the suppression also really came up in the Bella with Magda and sorry, I'm saying that it's not Catherine.
Kathleen.
Kathleen.
Kathleen, thank you. Sorry. that we're especially in lists, when you run list reports for items and then you don't know that the instance is actually suppressed and so forth. So they added that now that you that's a column. So if you get an ID for an instance, even if you're running a list item report, it will show you that the top level thing is actually suppressed, right? Because it was we were running into these problems.
Then this makes sense. I think we'll so we have probably a separate for the moment. I would It sounds to me like the behavior of set for deletion and staff suppress or even suppress for discovery are all kind of different things. Or at least, yeah, they're slightly different expectation. With respect to set for deletion, it is, I think you all confirm that there really isn't a use case for that showing up in as a match for a purchase order line or as a possible instance that you would attach to a PO line. Whether that's like you're doing the title lookup and you're linking your POL, or maybe it's a package POL and you're adding titles to it. Just gonna check chat, but I think that is people sort of agreeing. So sounds reasonable. Thank you.
Kristen, do you have your hand up, or is that?
Yeah, this is I actually, since we haven't been using the marking records for deletion, is there how do you tell in inventory if a record's been marked for deletion?
That's a good question because I didn't know that either, but
I think that's the main if I and because I think it's in the
there's
mark.
a
But there will be additional
banner.
flags that appear. There will be an extra. So right now, like if you have a staff suppressed and suppressed from discovery, there's these like little red dots. There will be an additional one that will indicate that it's marked from deletion.
And is it going to
Currently,
be a filter so you can just take it out too?
I forget about the filter part. I'm not sure. I'm
Okay.
assuming, but I won't guarantee that one.
Okay, but right
In the
now
mark, in the
it's in the
mark,
mark.
it will it, the in the leader there will be a D. And currently, right now, for example, I don't know if this was everybody or if it was just something we were doing it. We were using that stat code mark for deletion and doing it that way. But again, you don't see that so easily, right? You have to look for it and read it. It didn't have that little nice thing, and not doing the D in the leader in the mark.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. And then we're supposed to always suppress it if it's going to be something that should be deleted.
Right.
So yeah, we're using a statistical code to
Right,
indicate that it
that's
should be
thank you.
deleted, but because the mark is not, it's not indexed in inventory entirely or entirely viewable, we have not been using that leader code.
See what Molly just said about,
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
I think if I could just, so I
Yeah,
think
go ahead.
now my brain is kind of going, and I think the thing, the reason why, again, it's going to be this permission thing. So I think they're kind of assuming that when it's marked for deletion like that with the D, that for most people it won't show up. Which doesn't mean, though, there shouldn't be a search and filter option besides lists. I mean, there should be something directly in the UI. Sorry, now we're talking about inventory rather than acquisition. Although I do have one question further, if that's possible, about something else.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's what I needed. So
Absolutely. Please go ahead and ask another question.
So, with so we're on ransoms, and for a time in ransoms, for anybody using Gobi integration, I don't know if this is just in our case or all cases in preparation for Eureka, maybe. I haven't quite grasped why this happened, but Gobi, as part of the Gobi order integration, started attaching a tenant level ID, is my understanding. And at least for us, when it hit, then you could open the order, you could attach it to something, you could, associate a title and open the order, and everything was fine. But later, if you needed to change instance connection, you could not, because of this tenant ID that was in the order information in the back end somewhere, right? And but not then in inventory. And I believe this has been fixed now, but there's that gap of all the records in between that came over from Gobi integration, order integration, that are still have this tenant ID. And so is this, can this only be fixed by us contacting our hosting provider and saying, please, for the period of time where this ID got included, please remove it from all orders? Or is there something else that we can do? Or like, I have all these post-it notes, but then I'm going, oh my God, I know about some now because I've already done that. Hi Molly, I filed to revisit the deletion filter if people want to. Oh, is that about the other thing though? Sorry, now I'm looking at chat. Has anybody else encountered this? I'm just like really worried that in a year I'm going to try to change an instance connection. It's not going to work, and I'm going to completely have forgotten all about this. And then all this effort and time and to figure it out will need to be done again. And does anybody have a better solution?
So there's maybe one thing that you could try, but I'm not 100% sure that it would work, and I don't it'd be typical for me to test it actually. Like, and it probably isn't the best workaround, but if you would probably have to change the location, I think, of the order, because it was the ID was being assigned as part of retrieving the location for the order line. But ultimately, I think we probably need to look at writing a script to clean these up, if that's possible. That hosting providers can just use. So, yeah, Joe and I will talk to Thunderjet about that. But you might try changing the location if it's an order that would be possible to do, an order where that would be possible to do.
guess I'm not following. So I always move the holdings along when I'm trying to change the instance ID. And like you just don't get the submit button. But how do you mean that I would change the location?
I think so. The order in question, is it a synchronized receiving flow or independent?
Probably in most cases that I've attempted, it's always been synchronized.
So I think if you, yeah. You'd have to move, you'd have to link the piece to a new holding first.
Yeah, that's really untenable. I mean, I have, there's probably
Yeah.
hundreds of orders.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm trying to think of the only reason why that may work is you're updating the location ID of the POL, and that's where this was implemented for ECS because you need to have like a tenant classification in order to make the location information more useful because you have multiple tenants and there can be locations in every tenant, right? Some of those locations could actually have the same names, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, yeah, probably not a usable workaround. I'm not even sure that it would clear the tenant ID post fix. It might, but more realistically, we just need a script for single tenant folio that removes all of these tenant IDs.
That would be super, super good because I'm really concerned that, you know, like in 6 months, I'm going to try
You're
to
gonna need
change
to,
one and not remember, right? And
yeah, for
then
sure.
we'll all waste the time trying to remember why.
Yeah. And I think that that wouldn't be, I'm pretty sure this would be possible. So, yeah, we'll look into that.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate
Yeah, thank
it.
you. And I'm afraid I have to drop now. So, thanks
Thank you,
everyone.
Dennis. Thank you. If nobody has anything else, we can return 20 minutes. But I would want to see if Joe, are you still on the call? If you could stay after for a few minutes with me and Susan Gill, and if she's still on too. If
Yeah.
we want to talk for a few minutes, I'm trying to
Yeah, I
see
can
if
hang
she's
out.
okay.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, good. Okay.
Thanks.